Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, as a person who has, in all honesty, stood by the microwave and pleaded with it to hurry up, I am probably not the one to speak with the wise, experienced words of a patient waiter. Waiting is not my idea of a good time. And so when in our second reading we hear the author of 2 Peter write, "We wait for new heavens and a new earth," I get anxious. I mean, come on, I can't even wait for my soup to reheat. I don't know about you, but I'm a particularly anxious waiter. When I have to wait, I tend to find something to do, anything to do. In a particularly long period of waiting, and I've had a few of those, my house can become spotless and filled with the smells of all sorts of great baking. And well, then my furniture sometimes gets rearranged and I start to work out more and I might go shopping or volunteer or think up things to do at work, which isn't really that hard. And then when I have to wait, I start to worry. I worry that I'm missing something, that someone has forgotten about me, that something horrible has happened. Lee has gotten particularly good about calling me before he leaves work, so I don't call him 10 minutes before he gets home, wondering all sorts of horrible things. I hate waiting, though I know I'm hardly alone. It's incredible to watch people wondering why the economy didn't bounce back in a year or two when it took years for it to crumble this particular way. It's painful to see families struggle with unemployment, wondering how in the world they will make it, wondering and not knowing the future. It's jaw-dropping to witness the short attention span of the general public, especially when it comes to things like the slow, hard work of peacekeeping and nation building and sustainable development. It seems as an entire civilization, we are anxious and impatient, convinced something has gone horribly wrong if it takes longer than a single news cycle to fix something. And we are then quick to seek people to blame so that we do not have to implicate ourselves in any kind of way. And this is what we do when we have to wait. I hate waiting. I suppose it is exceedingly ironic, then, that my favorite season of the church year is Advent, this season of waiting. Well, or maybe it's not so ironic at all. I mean, it's not like Advent tells us to wait and then gives us nothing to help us in our waiting. Advent calls us out of the anxiety of waiting, the busyness of waiting, the blame of waiting, the insanity of waiting, all of which can look like the worst of our Christmas preparations gone awry. And Advent calls us out of all of that to proclaim to us comfort. Comfort, my people. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. See, the Lord God comes. Advent cries to us at the edges of our lives, like John the Baptist, declaring words of repentance and, more amazingly, forgiveness and love. Advent tells us this absolutely amazing thing, that our waiting is grace, that our waiting is healing, that our waiting is love, and that our waiting is not because we've been forgotten, but because we've been remembered. And I suppose when we think of it that way, waiting becomes this deep breath in the midst of all that is crazy and wrong in this world. Waiting becomes this deep hope and knowledge of something better that we can actually focus on and live into fully. And when that happens, well, we discover that our waiting is God's waiting, longing heart. Amen.